Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Life Happens. Are you prepared? This is the weekly radio broadcast bringing you information, ideas, thoughts, and planning recommendations to help you prepare for all that life brings our way. And we have a law practice. We are Pierre O'Connor and Strauss. We're located here in Latham, New York. We have offices in Manhattan and in several other locations, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Florida. And we try to bring you vital information on planning, looking at your finances, building for your retirement, paying for college education, looking at insurance planning, long-term care, life insurance, how to structure your assets, how to protect your assets, and looking at your family. And everybody's family is different. You think of your grandparents, parents, children, grandchildren, multi-generations. We love to serve multi-generational families, and we do that very happily looking at college. And we have Dr. Dean Scarless in here on a regular basis to talk about college today and the planning. It's a $75,000 a year expense, so you got to be prepared for that. It's part of life. We also look at retirement planning, making sure that you have a sufficient retirement, looking at IRAs, 401ks, Social Security planning, and all of the things that go into building a good income so that you don't outlive your money. And we also look at the corollary to that, which is as you're building that income stream for yourself, you're hopefully building some assets as well. Today, we're going to focus on those assets. How do you protect your assets, and what are your most valuable assets? So we're going to dig into that. Think about in your mind, what are the things that you really want to protect? And who do you want to protect them for? We have to look at our spouses, making sure if a spouse predeceases, you have sufficient income and resources for the survivor to last their lifetime. And then looking downstream to the children, how do you plan for those valuable assets to stay in the family? So important to so many people. And we have some wonderful tools and techniques available if you do the planning. And our theme for this year, because it rhymes, is get it done in 21. So we're encouraging people that have been procrastinating, that word. I remember that word from college. I used to procrastinate terribly, finish my papers at 8 a.m. and hand them in at 9. But I don't do that anymore because I want to be out in front of it. I want to do it thoughtfully, and hope you do too. So we're going to talk a lot about different types of assets. What's most valuable to you? For some people, it's that car collection. For some people, it's jewelry. For many people, it's their home. IRAs today and 401ks are the retirement vehicle, so we want to talk about how to protect those for yourself, your spouse, and your next generations. And then looking at other things, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, annuities, life insurance policies. You have to really look at all the things that you own and take the steps necessary to protect them. So we're going to unpack all of that today, and what a beautiful day it is. Saturday in September. We are September 4th. The sun is shining. It's 72 degrees. Couldn't ask for a better weather day. College football kicks off today in a big way. It's been going, but the big games today, we have Alabama, Georgia, Miami all playing today in college football. 1 week for the NFL to start. Pennant races are heating up. The Yankees and Mets and Red Sox are all playing and all somewhat involved in pennant races. So it's a great time of year. And down in Flushing, which was Flushing on Wednesday, man, the rain. How about that rain in the subways and the floods in the subways? Just incredible. But the U.S. Open is going on at the U.S. Tennis Center down in Flushing. So it's really a vibrant time from a sports perspective. And we're going to give you a vibrant hour of discussion. And for that, I'm very happy today to have with us one of our newest members of Pierre O'Connor and Strauss, Victor Oberding. Good morning, Victor.
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here. First time.
And although Victor's new to PCS, he's not new to the law practice. And Victor, you've been practicing for how long now?
Well, I went to Albany Law School and graduated in 1990, practiced for about 10 years, went out and did something else for a while, and was drawn back into the law. And I have the great opportunity and privilege to work with Lou and his team at Pierre O'Connor and Strauss.
So that something else was a family business.
Exactly.
So it kind of gives you a different perspective than a lot of other lawyers who just went to law school and just came out and started practicing. You actually were part of that day-to-day grind of a family business.
You know, you're right. You know, there's two sides to a situation when you have an attorney and a client, and you have separate perspectives. And sometimes when you can see both sides, which we're taught in law school, we're taught, you know, try to put yourself in the other person's position, understand what they're
The courtroom is one of the last places, and I'm proud of our judicial system right now because they are standing up for rights with some interesting exceptions. But for the most part, judges look for the right decision, and they look for facts and truth. And in many media, especially the media, social media and mass media, truth doesn't matter anymore. But it does matter in court, and it matters to attorneys.
Yes. Although you know what, you know, when I went to law school, interestingly surprised. I thought I was going to go to law school and learn the law. I thought, you know, there was the law. This is right and this is wrong.
And, all those books you see on the shelf,
yeah,
those
this is
statutes.
Right, this is black and this is white and this is right and this is wrong. And you know, I always use the example of like someone speeding down Route 9 in Colony. You know, you would think if they're exceeding the speed limit, they're breaking the law. But what if the car is malfunctioned and it's accelerating? What if someone is sitting there with a gun to their head and say, what if they're going to the hospital to deliver a baby? So there's always more to the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here. This is there's always more to the story.
That's a good point.
In these situations.
And I pointed out last week, I talked about my eighth grade social studies teacher, Mr. Van Orman. And for anybody from Hudson Middle School that went to Hudson Middle School and had Mr. Van Orman, you know that in huge, bold block letters up over top of the blackboard, he had the words, know all the facts. And it's so important and so disregarded today, knowing all the facts. And lawyers don't want to hear about other people's opinions of the facts. You want to get to the source facts. What is the document? What is the direct testimony? The people that were eyewitnesses, getting to that truth is what the law does. And that happens in court. We have our clients come in a lot. Well, I think this and I think that. You're welcome to your thoughts. You're welcome to your opinions. But when you go to court, it isn't what you think or believe. It's what you can prove. And that's evidence in admissible form.
That's also an interesting misconception. Probably from television and movies, there's a perception that, well, if you get the certain lawyer, they'll be able to extricate you from a situation. Yeah, well, you know, they can only work with what they have, and that's the facts.
Yeah, but some lawyers are better than others.
Some can.
And sometimes the best team of lawyers wins.
Which is basically experience. A lot of it's experience.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the Britney Spears case. Yeah. And, you know, for years and years, she had a court-appointed attorney. Now, she's got all this money. She could do what she wants. She could have gotten and asked the court to give her the right to hire her own attorney. She just did that. And the case turned immediately around. She hired a great lawyer out in California, somebody who knows the courtrooms, knows the ropes, petitioned the court. Boom. Decisions were made. Her father resigned. Everything happened because she got the right lawyer. It is very important.
I think that Britney Spears case is important on many levels because it's gotten people thinking about it and talking about it. And it's an area of the law which is no one pays attention to it until they do. And there's a lot of work to be done there.
And we're involved in numerous guardianship cases in New York. In California, it's called a conservatorship, and it's a very different and more arcane statute. New York modernized its law a number of years ago, and we have a guardianship statute now. It's called the guardianship, and you petition the court to be appointed as someone's legal guardian, but it attaches a whole series of constitutional rights, the right to counsel, the right to appear, the right to testify in your own behalf, the right to cross-examine witnesses. All of those things are built into New York's statute. So we do a tremendous amount of guardianship litigation. Aaron Connor here in our Albany office is the chief litigator. In our New York City office, Peter Strauss, Larice Phillips, Karen Kepler, they do guardianship litigation as well. And I was just on the phone with Peter on my way here about a guardianship case that we're working on actively and had the call with the clients yesterday. It's really interesting stuff because you unpack the whole family set of facts and all the dirty laundry for the family gets hung on the line for the court to see. And all the people in the courtroom to see. So it's not a great proceeding. You don't want to be there. We try to plan to avoid that. But if you need right representation, that's where you want to have the right attorney by your side who knows the system, may know the judge, don't undervalue that, may know all the other attorneys in the case, and experience matters when you're a lawyer.
Well, you know what? I just actually, before I got here, I was hoping I wouldn't be late. I got here just in time, but one of my best friend, I'll say, one of my two best friends, other than my wife, who's perhaps is listening. She's my best friend. So he's a doctor. And, you know, in the medical profession, the doctors, they stay in their lanes. If you're this, you're that. If you're that, you're, you know, you'll find with some attorneys, they may be what's called general practitioners, yeah. Or they may stray into different areas. And, you know, they mean well, and they do the best. But this practice is has a certain scope, I would say, of activity. And you've been doing this for over 35 years. I don't know
36
the exact number.
Years. So, yes. Been back, well, let's see, 37. Yes. I just went up one. Started practice in 1984. So 37 years this year, but I'm chasing my partner, Peter, who's Peter's been practicing 61 years. So together we speak together and do seminars and things. And we say, well, together we have 100 years of legal experience. We don't say who has more, but Peter has more. so we can't say on the radio that we're specialists. Okay. They don't allow us to say specialist. The word specialist is something lawyers aren't supposed to say. That's three times I just said it. But we can say that we limit our practice. I don't like that phrase, but we focus our practice on trust and estates, elder law, business succession planning, and corollaries to that are guardianship litigation, because capacity is a major issue when you're doing estate planning. And we also focus on trust and estates litigation, just corollaries to the core practice. But what we see our job as planners is to keep our clients out of court. That's our number one mission. And if we can keep you and your families out of court, we have done our job. And we're going to talk about how to do that, talk about those most valuable assets, and we're going to give you an opportunity to ask your questions. Victor Oberding, Lou Piro here in studio. We're ready to answer your questions. You can give us a call. I'm going to give out the number right now, 800-825-5949. That's 800-TALK-WGY. Again, 800-825-5949. Thanks for tuning in to Life Happens this morning. We hope you stay with us for the show. We're going to have some great information on how to protect those most valuable assets. You're listening to Life Happens Radio on Talk Radio WGY every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. We'll be right back after this short break.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Zach's playing this just because I'm 63.
When I get older, losing my head.
Looking at that 64th birthday. Man, I hope I'm not the guy in this song.
Will you still be sending me a Valentine?
But that's how times have changed. Beatles wrote this song back in the early 60s when 64 was actually really, really old. Now I'm 63. I feel like I'm 63. No, you know, 63 isn't that old anymore because medicine keeps you going. And I probably would have had a very different result 50 years ago because I've benefited from the miracles of modern science. I've had a quintuple bypass and valve replacement surgery, open heart surgery, a 9-hour surgery. And I feel better now than I did in my 50s because everything has kind of opened up. And medical science can do that. They can keep us living longer. And if we live longer, can we live successfully? Can we live comfortably? Can we live our lives in the manner to which we want? I always say, I aspire to the lifestyle to which my children have become accustomed. But we want to have that successful retirement, and we want to make sure that our money is there and that our assets are there. So today we're going to look at those assets. And again, This is a call-in show. We would welcome your call. Zach's ready to take them right now. We have phone lines open. You can call us at 800-825-5949. That's 800-TALK-WGY. TALK-WGY. I hate dialing by letter. So 825-5949. Give us a call. We'd love to take your questions, hear your comments. But Victor, talking about assets, looking at assets, what's your experience? You've been practicing now for 31 years.
Yes.
31 years.
Yes.
In that time, have you seen a shift in where people have wealth and where they're accumulating value?
Well, let me just say, and I'll speak to that. I found that by the most part, people are reactive, not proactive. So, someone will do something when it's forced upon them, for the most part, and that's just human nature. One of the goals, I believe, of this radio show and the practice is to encourage people to think ahead, to be proactive,
but be prepared.
But like you said, life is complicated. Lots going on. You can't do everything. You got to pick your points of action. But we're talking about opportunities to be prepared for various things here. Yes, when I first started practicing, there would be estate tax returns, which for federal purposes, if you had $600,000, you would have to file a federal United States estate tax return, 706. And in New York State, I think it was it $115,000
or $108,333?
Okay.
When I started my practice. Yeah.
So I mean, and of course that was in the 1990s, yep. But there has been inflation, but still, that was a low bar.
Major shift.
Yes. So now the numbers currently are what 11.7.
Yeah.
Federal and
yeah.
5.93 for state. Although that will be changing at the end of 2025.
The federal piece, yeah. And think about that, folks. For New York State purposes, you can pass, each spouse can pass, if it's done right, $5,930,000. So in effect, $6 million can pass estate tax-free in New York. And federally, $11.7 million passes estate tax-free for a married couple. That's $23.4 million. And that's a lot of money that you can shift down to your heirs. So people think about the death tax, and it just isn't a thing for most people anymore.
But for people in the financial area, investors, financial people, people crave consistency. They want to know what, they don't want surprises. So if there's going to be higher taxes, okay, tell us and we'll adapt to that. If there's going to be changes, they're talking about some significant changes, like removing the step up in basis. Which if you pass away and you had bought a house or a stock in 2000 or 1990 at $10 and it's now worth $100, right now you don't, and you pass away owning it, you don't pay a capital gains tax on that. And with all of this spending that's going on, ways of finding tax funds are being looked at, and that's being looked at. Although the more I think about it, think of someone who, and there's many of them still around here who own GE stock from 1955.
Mm-hmm.
And could you imagine trying to go back and trying to find out what your basis, your actual cost of that is after all of the stock splits? And then this past year, a reverse stock split. They had this in the 1970s, and they said it's not possible to work, and they went away. So we'll see about that. But things change, so you have to react to the change in the tax law in society. You asked about
what assets are looked at. Do you see now versus 30 years ago?
Well, there's a lot more people involved in the stock market, mostly indirectly through employment plans, pension plans, retirement plans. The percentage of ownership of the United States population that owns stocks is higher than it was. With low interest rates, there's fewer people socking away money in CDs, perhaps, unless they want safety. You're finding more borrowing because of the low interest rates, so
right.
There's more debt out there.
You can buy a bigger house, have the same mortgage
sure.
payment.
Sure. So you, and you mentioned House. So so Lou asked, you know, Victor, what do you think would be a, something to at least mention in the show? And I'm probably coming up on a break. I always wanted to say that I've been a fan of radio, talk radio, since I was a child, and I've always coming up on a break. You know, and, but a house. I said, you know what? Everyone has some link to a house: their parents' house, their house, their children's house. Mm-hmm. A house is probably for a lot of people the most important investment of their life, and it's something that is important in other ways too, not just financially to a family. And there's things that can be addressed. And there's things that are done with houses that probably shouldn't be done.
And we've seen massive fluctuations in value where you had a buildup for many, many years, peaked in 2007, and home values were in 2007 actually, in many cases, higher than they are now. Nice. Then you had the crash of 2008, and real estate and home values just plummeted. Now we've had a steady growth, and COVID has really accelerated that growth. So houses go on the market here locally, and they get sold with bidders, you know, outbidding the listing price. I mean, we're still in that type of a market for the right location and the right home. So you're right. The house, that home, is an asset that you want to protect.
Yes. And there are things you can do, and there's things you not. And again, like I said in the law, there's no right or wrong, but you know, sometimes we'll see that a parent has put a child on their deed. They think that's a good thing to do.
Yeah. And I haven't given anything away. I just put my child's house name on the deed. Well, you gave away half the house.
And assumes, you know, there's some liability, too, that comes along with
and
that.
And tax issues.
And tax issues, yes. So, you know, life is not perfect, but we're here to talk about your situation and offer our experience and try to be proactive and be prepared.
So the reason you need to protect your home, there are several things that kind of, in addition to taxes, and there are many taxes other than that estate tax that we plan for: income tax, capital gains tax, property taxes. And the other part of this is protecting for long-term care costs. And that's really the most confiscatory tax we have, if you want to look at it that way, because the cost of care right now is approaching, folks, $200,000 per year. If you need a nursing home, it's $180,000, $190,000 now. And next year, it'll be up over $200,000 because it's going up on double digit in terms of the increase in rates. So planning for your future, when medical science can put you back together like they did me and give you 5 new arteries and a new bovine valve, and they can keep you going for another 20, 25 years, what's to say that in 10, 20 years, I'm not going to need help in the home, or I'm not going to need help because of my physical deterioration or my cognitive deterioration? So the questions become, how do we protect that home? And that's going to be a big part of our discussion when we come back, because Victor's right. We are heading for a break. We're going to take a brief break for the news. Give us a call, 800-TALK-WGY. That's 800-825-5949. We'll be back. We're going to talk about the house, your IRA, 401k, stocks, bonds, annuities, life insurance, bank accounts, CDs, money markets, NFTs. The newest asset class that we're dealing with. We'll be right back after this short break for the news.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be.
Beatles kind of had a song for getting old, paying tax. Tim. And we're talking about taxes. We're also talking about planning for your assets and protecting yourself, your assets, your loved ones. I'm Lou Pirro, your host for this morning, in studio live at the WGY Studios here in Latham, New York, with Victor Oberding, also of Pirro, Connor & Strauss. And we're talking about right now your home. Before we do, I want to point out that we believe very strongly in education, and we have some workshops coming up that you may want to tune into. One of the things we're going to talk about in the second half of the show is planning for aging and long-term care and how to protect yourself while maximizing the value of your assets during your lifetime and protecting yourself from tax liabilities, doing all that planning and juggling and balancing. So we're going to talk about the new Medicaid laws that are going to come into effect January 1. And that's a webinar 12 to 1 o'clock on September 23rd. And then we also do a lot of planning in the special needs area. So if you have a child or a loved one with special needs or you know someone that does, September 30th, we're going to be doing a 12-to-1 webinar on special needs planning. So you can sign up for all of our educational programming at pierrolaw.com. Visit our website. It's pierrolaw.com. And you can see what we have scheduled. Beth Wortman, Tim Flynn, our marketing folks in the PCS marketing department are putting together a great slate of programming for the fall. So be sure to check it out on the website. Go to the events tab and you can see everything that's coming up. We also have guides, estate planning, long-term care planning, special needs planning, and a great guide that my partner Peter Strauss had most of the writing on. That's 2021 Healthcare Decision-Making Guide. And a lot of people are misinformed about healthcare decision-making. You can get all of these guides by either emailing us at info@pierrolaw.com, or you can download them right from the website. Again, pierrolaw.com, wealth of information. We hope you take advantage of it because we want you to be prepared.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Victor, before the break, we were talking about the home. Not only is it a financial asset, but it's an emotional asset as well. And to give you an example of how emotional it can be in families, my family. I always like to talk about my family and my relatives. In this case, it's my sister, Michelle, who, when my mom passed away, my dad had predeceased her. We had the home. It was in a trust, Medicaid Asset Protection Trust. So we inherited the home. We got the step up in basis, all the good things we're going to talk about. And then we sold the home. You know, it was emotional. They built the house in 1958, happens to be the year I was born. So I lived there my entire life. And my grandparents lived with us. My aunt lived with us. So we had a basement full of furniture, an attic full of papers. So we had to clean the house out. Very emotional time. And we went through all of that and tears shed. And four or five dumpsters later, we had the house clean. We sold it. Well, 15 years later, the people that bought the house were moving on. They were going to put the house back on the market, but my sister had told them, if you're ever going to sell it, call me first. So they did. And back in June, I did the closing, and my sister actually bought my parents' old house back and remodeled it, and now she's living there. So we just had our first family barbecue. My father was a big London broil guy, so we got a big London broil, and we had the family together. The potato salad recipe my mom used to make, corn on the cob, and we had a family cookout at my parents' old house, and it was like being back home again. So that emotional tie to the home is also very strong. So what's the best way to protect that family homestead?
Well, and great question, and there's a good answer to it. Just to back up, the government realized that if I, Victor Oberting, if I was about to go to a nursing home tomorrow, I would just give all my assets away today and say, hello, here I am. So there is a period of time, this has been discussed in prior shows, and it's somewhat common knowledge, but there has to be a period of time between when you remove yourself from ownership of control of an asset and being eligible for governmental Medicaid payments for a nursing home. It used to be 3 years. It's now 5 years. I doubt they're going to lower it. They may extend it. Mm-hmm. They may get rid of it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they're not going to lower it. So now it's 5 years.
There's been talk over time to raise it to 8 years.
Yes. Probably will happen.
The government can't afford to pay this forever. We've talked a lot about that too. Coffers, the government coffers just can't afford it. And Medicaid's a state federal program. New York's Medicaid budget is $70 billion in a total of $160 billion budget. I mean, it's almost half.
So the nice thing, though, about a house when you put it into one of these trusts is that in your living experience, you don't experience much or even any change. It's you put your house, you deed the title of the house from your name to the trustees, to your trust, but you still live there. It's still your house. In your mind, you pay the taxes and, you get whatever tax benefits you might get as a veteran or a star, and you pay the insurance. But It's not like you took $100,000 in cash, which you can do whatever you want with it, and put it into a trust, which now is away from you a little bit. With a house, it's a much easier emotional and asset to plan with, I think everyone should be encouraged to ponder that a little bit.
So we draft right into the trust the absolute unconditional right to live in the home for the rest of your life. And if you think about it, what do you really own in a home other than the right to occupy it or sell it? And so your right to occupy the home is 100% protected inside that trust. There are also tax issues with a home. People get STAR exemptions, enhanced STAR exemptions, veterans exemptions. And we talked about capital gains tax. When you sell your home, if you bought your home for $100,000, it's now worth $300,000. You've got a $200,000 capital gain. The federal top rate is 20%. State top rate is 8.82%. If you're in really high income, you pay a net investment income tax on top of that of another 3.8%. So you're paying about a third, almost a third in capital gains tax. So you're going to pay a $66,000 tax on the sale of that residence unless you have available to you your exclusion from capital gains tax, which is $250,000, and a spouse can also get $250,000. So two spouses can sell a home and exclude $500,000 of capital gain. Well, if you give your house away, you lose your STAR exemption, you lose your veterans exemption, you lose your capital gains exemption, and there's no step up in basis upon death. What happens in a trust?
What happens if you do proceed to do this and be proactive provide for this? Let's say in 5-10 years you decide you want to downsize. Mm-hmm. Let's say you want to rent or you want to buy a new house. That's not a problem. That's not a challenge. The trust sells the house. The proceeds come to the trust. You buy a new house. You take the money and you invest it. You use it to pay rent or whatever you're going to do.
Right.
So it's not like you have to put the trust in that house and then it's locked in cement and stone and you can never do anything ever again. It's just an asset that the trustees would utilize just like you would.
Let's come back to that. Let's go back to the tax issues. So how is the trust dealt with in terms of all of the tax issues that I mentioned, STAR exemptions, enhanced STAR veterans, capital gains issues? How
Those
is the house
are all retained
treated?
As long as you have them, you still get them.
Yeah, if the trust is drafted properly, yes, this comes back to going to someone who does this every day versus someone who's doing a DWI, a divorce, going to traffic court, and then, I can draft a trust. You have to make sure it's a grantor trust, which for tax purposes is a very nuanced drafting assignment to put in grantor trust powers, but all of our Medicaid Asset Protection Trusts are grantor trusts, so you keep all of the tax benefits, you keep the absolute right to live in the house. You can sell the house, still exclude the capital gain, buy a new house, downsize, upsize. You can use it to pay an entry fee like the Beverwick. You can use the money to pay into an independent living. There are wonderful independent living facilities around. If you just want to have like a townhouse with a chef and all kinds of benefits built in, very active lifestyle, they have a lot of social activities. And then if you need assisted living, you need nursing home, it's kind of all threaded in. You can use the trust money to do that too. So it's very flexible in terms of what happens if you do choose to sell the house. And at the end of the day, when you get to that great beyond, what happens to the house?
It goes to whoever you would like it to go to, just like if you had a will you decide. You create the terms initially of who your beneficiaries are. So and you can still control that.
What if I change my mind? What if I have three kids and, I love my three children equally, respect them tremendously. They're great people. And I think they're going to do wonderfully in their lives. And I want all three of them to share equally in my estate. But what if one of them marries the wrong person, or what if one of them develops habits, drug habits, or has issues themselves and is in a financial crisis and may go bankrupt? Is there a way that I could change beneficiaries on that trust?
You can. And instead of giving it right to them, you could have it continue on in trust for the beneficiaries. If something happens, there are ways a trust is not a one-and-done thing. There are things you can do to alter, change certain provisions, beneficiary provisions, trustees. So there is some ability to adjust to life circumstances as it happens.
Yeah. We build in as much control and flexibility as we can. So even though this trust is outside of your Medicaid estate, and once you put the house in, it doesn't count for Medicaid, and you start that five-year clock ticking. So you have to stay healthy for 5 years. But getting it done early is a key. We do have plan B, C, and D. If you don't stay healthy for 5 years, there are still things that we can do. But focusing on the trust, you put it in, you choose a trustee, you can always change. Anytime, you can change trustee. You put it in, you choose beneficiaries. You can change beneficiaries at any time. And that's leverage over the trustee and the beneficiary, because it's usually the trustee is a child and is also a beneficiary. And you say, hey, you're no longer my trustee, you're fired. Yeah, big deal. You know, somebody else is going to manage the trust. I'm still going to get my third. But if you say you're fired as trustee and you're off the trust as a one-third beneficiary, uh-oh, I just lost my inheritance. So that's tremendous leverage over those trustees and beneficiaries that you keep in this trust. And yet the whole value of the house, number one, avoids probate court. So if you own a home and you die owning the home, yep, somebody's going to have to go to probate and probate a will or intestate administration to move that house down to the beneficiaries. In this case, the trust owns the house, so it can distribute to the beneficiaries. But you hit on something, Victor, that I think is very, very important. More and more, for the last 20 years or so, we used to stagger trusts and say, okay, 21 is kind of young to inherit, so maybe they get a little bit at 25, they get a little bit at 30, but by the time they're 35, I'm just going to give it to them. There was some case law back about 20 years ago in New York that allowed the creation of a trust for a child, any beneficiary other than your spouse. You can create a trust. You can have that trust designed in such a way that the child can be the trustee for themselves. They can be the beneficiary of the income and the principal of that trust, so they have full use of the money. They can decide ultimately who receives it, so they have a power of appointment to decide who the ultimate takers are. Yet, if my child gets divorced, and that's the big one for most parents, if they have a lawsuit against them, if they go bankrupt, or if they themselves at some point need Medicaid, what I've left them as an inheritance in that trust is fully protected. So as you said, Victor, the trust doesn't end. It just divides.
Yes, and when you say the word trust, some people still have images of Rockefeller and all, and so don't be overly concerned about a trust. It's a document. It's a bucket. It's what you put assets into, but it's for everyone. It's not a.
You want it done right, and you want it maintained properly. But if you do those things, you are prepared. This is how you prepare yourself to protect that main asset. And other things can go into that trust as well. So what about stocks, bonds, your portfolio, your Merrill Lynch, Morgan Stanley, Fidelity accounts?
There's no gift tax when you transfer into a trust if it's done, drafted properly. And those assets as well can also achieve some protection and control. And as your parents age, the trustee can help out managing these assets.
And the trustee could also tap the assets and use them back for the parents.
Mm-hmm. Well, sure.
If it's properly designed.
Sure.
So the trust works to protect the home, stocks, bonds. We put in life insurance. We put in annuities, CDs, money markets. You can put virtually any asset into that trust. You protect it. You have no gift tax consequences. A lot of people ask, well, aren't my kids going to get income tax consequences if they take money out of the trust? The answer is no, because it's at grantor trust. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have any tax consequences to the children. You can accumulate wealth in there, grow the wealth in there, but you start the Medicaid clock ticking. And after that 5 years for nursing home, 2.5 years coming up for home health care. So it's half the penalty period. And that's the September 23rd webinar at noon is going to talk all about the new Medicaid home health care rules. So log on to the website, purelaw.com, for that. But once that trust is fully funded, all of those assets continue on. You can keep the income from them. So you have income throughout your retirement from the trust if you need it. You have the right to get principal through the trustee. They can pull it out and use it for your benefit. You control the trustee, you control the beneficiaries. So that Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, I'd say this all the time, we can tell you here today that this works. I can't tell you that next year the law won't change. But I can say that every time they change the law, they grandfather in anything that has already been done. So that has been the historical treatment of trusts. There are constitutional reasons. They can't change laws retroactively. So we feel pretty good about the fact that if you do this trust today, it's going to work for the rest of your lifetime. And your assets will be protected. You get all the tax benefits. And your children can get their trusts split out right from your trust. So it's a plan that works for all of these assets. There's one asset that this doesn't work for that you can't put into the trust, and that's a retirement account. So when we come back from the break, we're going to look at all the nuances of 401ks, IRAs, 403bs, 457 plans, Roth IRAs, a very popular tool today. We're going to look at how to protect those assets because they have become the primary asset for a lot of people in terms of their retirement savings. Again, give us a call. We have a few minutes left. 800-825-5949. That's 800-TALK-WGY. I'm Lou Pirro here with Victor Oberding. We're going to take a short break and be right back. You're listening to Life Happens on Talk Radio WGY, 810 AM, 103.1 FM. Be right back. You're listening to Life Happens Radio. I'm Lou Pirro, your host for today, on with Victor Oberding. And we're talking about how to protect your favorite assets. And we talked about the home, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, bank accounts, we didn't talk about IRAs yet, annuities, life insurance, all those things. And we have trusts. We talked about asset protection planning. We have clients that have full long-term care insurance coverage, and we highly recommend that people consider that. And for them, a revocable trust, which is a lot simpler, but accomplishes all the same things, and you've got your long-term care coverage through private insurance. But the one asset that doesn't go into the trust because it's a taxable event is a qualified retirement account. And in my 36-7 years of practice, the big shift, and you mentioned GE earlier, when I started practicing in 37 years ago, 1983, GE retirees got a pension. And all of these big companies had defined benefit plans or defined contribution plans. It was the thing, and they were accumulating billions of dollars in these plans. And the plans didn't keep pace with the needs for the retirement income. And so over time, those big companies jettisoned their defined benefit and defined contribution plans and set up 401ks. So they flipped the responsibility for your retirement saving. Used to be a corporate responsibility. Now it's an individual responsibility. So people have to start early. I've coached my kids on this, and they are maxing out their 401k contributions. Every Christmas, I give my children a little bit of money to start a Roth. I started a Roth a few years ago for them. So I match some earned income, and I put money into a Roth IRA. I hope they contribute some on their own to that Roth IRA too, but at least they're starting the Roth early. And these are retirement vehicles that people have to really focus on now, because unless you're working for the government or you're a teacher, and even the government pensions are starting to get watered down. Teachers' retirements are still very, very strong. Who'd have thought back when you were weighing out your career options that if you became a teacher back in the 1970s and 80s, you'd be happily retired now, and many of them have, you know, almost six-figure incomes in retirement because of their pension and Social Security. So you have to be responsible for yourself today. So how do we then plan? If you've built up all of your retirement savings in that 401k IRA, we can't put the 401k IRA in a trust. The question becomes, if we did need that nursing home, is my life savings at risk?
You know, we've been playing some Beatles musics here, and most people still, I have four children. Young adults, and they know the Beatles, but you mentioned Barry White. I don't think they would know. I brought up Bing Crosby to my. They looked at me like, "Who? What is that?"
they know the one song he did with David Bowie.
Yes,
Little Drummer Boy. That's about it.
My oldest son, he's graduated from college. He's gainfully employed right now, and he I encouraged him, and he's on his own, and he also has a Roth IRA set up. And you know, employers, many employers still do a match. Mm-hmm. So it's a very and you asked before what's changed over the years. That's a very important thing. Now, to tell a 24-year-old that, you know, invest in something that if you take it out before the age of 59, there's going to be a penalty, but you really want to keep it till 72. You know, some get it and some don't.
Versus buying that new car or those new sneakers. Yeah.
But it's a powerful investment vehicle, especially the Roth. Along with some of the 529s, there are vehicles, investment vehicles out there that are powerful over time, investment vehicles. But you need to manage them properly, and you need to properly have the beneficiaries and have everything in place for them. You don't just do it and put it in a closet.
So we've been talking about tax planning and Medicaid planning, and the two are like oil and water in most cases. But with the case of IRAs, they're not. IRAs in New York, for Medicaid purposes, if you needed a nursing home and you're drawing from your IRA, that IRA is exempt. It is a fully exempt asset. So when we do the diagrams for clients, and we do this at the initial consultation, we sit down, we look at and map out all of the assets. We put the IRAs in a circle on the left. We put the cash they're going to keep in the middle in a box with their name. And in the right, we put those Medicaid asset protection trust assets, the home, the stocks, the bonds, the life insurance. And both wings are fully protected. The IRAs are fully protected for Medicaid purposes, and the other trust assets are fully protected for Medicaid purposes, yet you have access to both. And in the case of a Roth IRA, the law is less clear, but as of right now, New York State is honoring the Roth just like it does traditional IRAs and 401ks. If you're drawing from that Roth, and you don't have a mandatory distribution. And just to take it one step back, IRAs and 401ks are pre-tax contributions. So when you put money in there, you don't pay any income tax on it up front. It grows tax deferred, but you pay 100% income tax on the back end. With a Roth IRA, you pay tax up front. You contribute the money after tax. It grows tax deferred, and in fact, it then comes out tax free. And that's the big payday, especially if you start young and you have tremendous growth. I have a client that put Apple in a bunch of years ago, and he ended up with a $12 million Roth IRA. Just phenomenal, just an incredible amount of money, tax free, growing tax free. So he would never sell the Apple, so he didn't have to worry about capital gains tax. But it was something that children should know. But as you're planning retirement and you're looking at Medicaid planning, your IRAs go in a separate column because they can be protected under New York law. If you're hearing us in Massachusetts, different rules. We practice in Massachusetts. They do not exempt IRAs. We practice in New Jersey. They do not exempt IRAs. Pennsylvania, most states, in fact, do not exempt IRAs. So you have to liquidate the IRAs or plan differently for them. Florida and New York are two states that honor the IRA and exempt it. So it's a big difference in planning.
And often, very often, perhaps most often, when clients come in and we encourage them to fill out a form and tell us a little bit about themselves ahead of time. And you'll see that, like we're talking about today, much of the time, the two most important assets, the largest assets, the house and a retirement plan.
Absolutely. And we can protect them both. Yeah. That's the good news. And keep full access and control of both assets. So we're winding down. We've got about a minute left. And so today's asset protection ideas are things that you should be thinking about. Take action. Get it done. We have a questionnaire on our website. We'd be happy to meet with you. We do it free of charge. Victor Oberding, Lou Pirro with you today. We're happy that you stayed with us. And thanks for listening every week. We're going to be back next week with more information, talking about insurance planning. Our friends Bob Vandy, Brian Johnson, our co-hosts on the show, are going to be with us, and we hope you can join us. Thanks for listening today. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you're a sports fan, it's the best time of year. Baseball, meaningful baseball games, start of NFL season, college football, U.S. Open tennis, Enjoy it all. Get out and enjoy the sunshine. For Lou Piero, Victor Oberding, have a wonderful weekend and a very, very happy Labor Day.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.